Hello and welcome to English Podcasts with Chris and Sue. For more information, visit english-podcasts.com.
Hi, Sue.
Hi there, Chris.
So today, what I'd like to talk about is, well, I'll ask a question first. Do you ever get learners who are demotivated or who get demotivated, you know, in the process of learning English?
Yes, I do. And that's a very good question. I think it's perhaps a major part of our work in a way. I find that I have a lot of real beginners, let's say, and I find they start off full of beans and they work pretty hard and first month they're up there and then they realise it's going to be a little bit of a slog. And that's when they lose a bit of, I'm going to say, motivation. I think they begin to panic and they get a little bit disheartened.
Yeah, I get that as well. I get people that start off and they're working on their own, for example, they're listening at home and stuff like that. And then you get to meet them, you know, later and say, so what have you been doing? They say, oh, nothing, you know, whatever. So anyway, on this subject, I've come out with 10 tips or 10 rules, if you like, of how to stay motivated learning English.
Okay, let's hear them.
Well, first of all, I would say that what would you think is a good language learner? What makes a good language learner?
Well, this is a frequent question. I'm going to go straight to it. I'm going to say people who dare to make mistakes. People who don't freak out or worry when they make a mistake.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd just add that I find that good language learners are generally persistent.
Yes.
Yeah, they just keep going, you know, I get knocked down and I get up again.
That's a good
example.
Song. Yeah.
Often, as you say, they're risk takers. They try stuff. And I find that good guessers make good language learners.
Yes.
Because when they're listening to something, they guess, you know, the stuff that they don't understand rather than blocking and, you know, oh, I don't understand or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll go through the 10 things. So one of them is not being afraid to make mistakes, number one. In my opinion, when you're making mistakes, you're advancing. When you're not making mistakes, you're staying still. Mm. And generally, if you're not making mistakes, you're just repeating what you already know.
But just a little question, how many times can you make the same mistake?
Well, we can have a, you know, philosophical conversation about mistakes and errors, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
but being able to make a mistake and not be freaked out by it.
Yeah.
Because, well, I don't, wherever anybody else is in the world, in France, people are pretty freaked out about English from school because they're told they have a bad accent, etc. And nobody likes speaking. And they all seem to judge each other, but from a bad position.
So if
people are willing to make mistakes, then they can actually...
And I always say to people, you can make mistakes several times. I certainly have and do.
Yeah, I still make mistakes
so
in French.
It's really not a problem.
Okay, so that's the first one. Number two is to listen at least once a day. Yeah, not to leave it till the weekend, you know, and do an hour or whatever, but listen every single day to something. I don't know, I always talk about the magic 15 minutes, you know, but they've got to do that. And then, as Simon Sinek would say, is find your why. Yeah, find why you're learning English.
Yes.
Now, learning English, people may say, I want to learn English to be fluent or blah, blah, blah. No, that is not a reason to learn English. You know, if you're learning English for your professional life, for example, think about what is the real why. Because you want to move up the ladder, because you want to go to another company, you may want to work abroad, but find that why. It's
Absolutely.
Not just learning for learning's sake.
Absolutely, totally agree with that.
Yeah, and you need to have the end result in mind.
Yes.
Number four is try to speak at least once a day. Whether you're recording your voice or you're bound to know somebody that speaks a bit of English, try some stuff out. Try it. You need to practice, but speak at least once a day. Sometimes you really have to push yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I hear people who say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we can't speak English, which is total rubbish. In Toulouse, there are many bars, they're shut now, but they used to do quizzes, they used to do get-togethers, there's comedy, there's all sorts of things, you know.
Absolutely, and I'd also say these days with the internet, there are lots of sites where you can actually meet up with some other person across the world.
Absolutely.
And you speak your language, they speak theirs, and you know, yeah, you kind of correct each other.
I'm not sure how effective that is, you know.
Well, I've known people who've done it, and I think it's a easy, pleasant thing, and it motivates them, as we're talking about motivation.
I think there are types of people that can benefit from this,
yeah,
who are mega motivated, who yeah, really push it. But the problem is that often people, they don't speak because they have to come out of their comfort zone to do it. This is all goes back to the first one about making mistakes and not being worried about it. So that was my number four, is to speak at least once a day. Another number five, which I find is a hugely important one, is avoid boring materials. You know, people will, for example, I remember years ago seeing this woman and she was reading a gardening magazine in English. And I asked her, "Do you like gardening?" She says, "No, I hate it."
Oh.
I said, "So what are you doing that for?" Yeah, now there are loads and loads of sites. One I can think of is Englishpodcast.com.
Absolutely. Underline that, yes.
The 6 Minute English, yes, for example. But find stuff that interests you and don't even attempt something that doesn't interest you unless you've got a really sort of keen curiosity to find out about something.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that.
There's loads of rubbish on the internet.
I mean, for example, people who like sport, football, not my thing, but people love football.
Yeah.
And I say, well, go on YouTube and every Premiership club has a channel,
yeah,
where they interview players of all different nationalities.
Yeah.
It's a great way to learn
Absolutely.
English.
Yeah. Mm. So just find the stuff that interests you. The other thing is try to flip your learning.
What does that mean?
Have you never heard of a flipped classroom?
You're going to have to explain that to me
a
bit.
So a flipped classroom is when a learner teaches a teacher, if you like. So instead of going on to internet and getting some boring old exercises and stuff like that, learn how to use something. Like, for example, if you're doing grammar, right? We'll just say you're doing something about the past simple and the present perfect. Yeah. So you get the ideas of it. Then make your own quizzes, your own materials. Try it out on somebody, because this one will help you as well to speak with somebody else.
Yes.
Now, you also may make mistakes. As I said, don't worry about making mistakes, but try to do this. And you'll find that when you create activities or when you make quizzes, etc., you're actually practicing. You're actually using the language, yeah?
Mm.
And so it's a really good way. And you're not just... Because what people do is they fill in, you know, grammar questions and I got 20 out of 20 or 10 out of 20. Yeah, so what? It doesn't matter. You know,
I absolutely
use
agree.
It.
That's why I don't always give grammar questions in my classes, because I say to people, they're pretty intelligent. They're going to get 20 out of 20. When they come to speak, they can't speak.
Exactly.
Suddenly, their confidence goes right through the floor again.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, as well, when you get into this sort of flipped idea, when you're working with somebody, then they become your friend, your colleague, or whatever. They also become another resource, because there will be some things that they understand that you may not, and they may be able to put you right. So it works, you know, it almost becomes tandem learning, but flipped tandem
Absolutely.
Learning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, turn off all distractions. So turn your phone off. Now, you're a bad one for this, because you've always got your phone on buzzer and it's buzzing away. Turn it off completely.
Yeah, I'm a bit
Turn
connected.
Your emails off, you know. Just keep yourself away from distractions. I'm not talking about being shut away in a room, but why would I say turn off distractions? I will tell you. When you're really concentrated, you're writing a report, you're doing some work, for example, you get distracted by your phone buzzing. Now, you will say to me, "Oh, yeah, but I only look at it." Yeah, okay, you're not answering it, but you've been distracted. Do you know how long it will take you to get back to the same level of concentration?
You better tell me.
This was a study done by the University of LA, and it says, and this will really surprise you, but each distraction takes 5 minutes.
Minutes
to get back to exactly the same level of concentration
minutes.
That you were when you weren't distracted. Now, the maths is easy to do. Yeah, you times that by 10 distractions in a day, you get more than this.
Oh,
social media, you know, Snapchat or whatever, you know,
Instagram,
WhatsApp, Instagram, all of it. Yeah. So if you're distracted, so stick your phone away.
Yeah.
Don't leave. Have your phone with you.
Well,
turn your email off.
To say, if I was learning something, I would not have my phone on me. You know. But it's the same like driving. Never have the phone, because the phone is always more interesting than driving, which is pretty boring. You know. And
this is a problem in companies, is that people know this, but they like to be distracted so much
exactly.
that they keep their email
exactly.
open.
Exactly. They
keep
like,
their phone
they
on.
They like to be distracted, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, turn off all distractions. This is number eight, find your learning prime time. Find the time when you are best. Is it in the morning? Is it at lunchtime? Is it in the evening? And, you know, you could try to do a little bit in those times when you're not so, you know, available intellectually, if you like, but find your learning prime time and try and work in that. Now, people will tell me, I don't have the time to do something. Let's just change that sentence. Mm. It is, I don't want to find the time or I cannot find the time. Everybody can. We're not going to get more hours in our day, you know, ever, ever, ever. But you can organise stuff, and you need to organise your stuff around your learning prime time.
Good tip.
Number nine, set yourself some objectives, yeah? Don't just go, I would say, vague and say, I'm going to learn some grammar. What are you going to learn? And make it smart, you know, specific, measured, yeah? A?
Adapted, applicable.
Okay, well, I'll let you look that one up. R and T. So, you know, think about what you're going to do. What are you going to do? I'm not just going to do some grammar. I'm going to actually do something which is functional, yeah? If you're going to learn vocabulary, you don't just go and learn vocabulary. It's too vague, yeah? Maybe you will learn food vocabulary. Maybe you'll learn office vocabulary. Maybe you'll learn vocabulary for... I would tell people not to learn vocabulary, but learn, you know, fixed phrases, fixed yes. sentences as well, because you'll always have a problem not finding that piece of vocabulary. It will take you time, and that will destabilize you. Think about what you need to do. Think about why you need it, and think about when you're going to be able to use it.
So
because
important.
If you don't use it, you're not actually learning.
Yep.
All you're doing is looking at stuff.
Yeah.
And number 10, that's one I use, thinking about, is use reflective learning. That is, when you've finished doing your grammar, your listening, your whatever, at the end, reflect back on it, yeah? And one of the questions, I think, which often people don't ask themselves, is, did I enjoy it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ask yourself, you know, what did I do? Is yeah. that, because I set an objective at the beginning, is that the way that I did it? Sometimes it can deviate. It's not important, yeah? How did I do it? Yeah, and how did I say I was going to do it at the beginning? And why did I do it? So really reflecting back. And that went about, is it interesting? Does it interest me?
Mm.
Yeah, was it useful? It's so important. And people don't
well, I think it's
really
the key. Because as you say, if it's not useful, all you're doing is looking at stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah.
it's not learning by
no.
any definition. Reflective learning is very, very interesting. And it's, you know, if you look at any learning cycle, Kolb or Dewey or whatever, there is always reflecting. When you look at quality cycles, PDCA, Plan, Do, Check, Act, you actually look back on what you did. Yeah.
yeah.
And you it's continuous improvement. Now, there's never 10 without 11. So number 11 on my how to stay motivated in English is, after you've done all this, reward yourself. Yeah, I don't know, have a coffee, have a tea, have a drink, have, you know, do something.
Yes.
Yeah, or maybe just pat yourself on the back and
yes.
say, yeah, I did a good job
yeah,
there.
Absolutely. You always want to celebrate these good moments.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Sue.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again at english-podcasts.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes. And if you have an idea for a podcast or a blog, please get in contact with us through the site at english-podcasts.com.